Good morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. In the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Amen. Okay, so chapter 4, all right, again, the whole theme is about, you know, our unrighteousness, you know, and more so that we cannot attain righteousness apart from God. That is our standard of living as the people of God. In chapter 4 now, Paul begins to do some teaching, and he'll go all the way back into the Old Testament, and he'll use Abraham. And so what he's talking about justification by faith, right, as evidence in the Old Testament. And he uses Abraham because Abraham is actually the perfect example. You know, to the Jewish people, and you guys should all be aware of this, Abraham is the father of our faith, right? And so it's not any error on our part or on the Muslims' part to say that Abraham is our father. You know, as a Christian, we could very easily say, yes, Abraham is our father as well, even though we're not Jewish, we're Gentiles. You know, because he is the father of our faith. You know, and so because he is the preeminent figure, right, in the Old Testament, you know, and the promise of God, the blessings of God, I mean, the covenant of God, everything flows through Abraham. And even from that place, so he uses Abraham to build his case about justification by faith. And he does it on a couple of different angles, right? The first one, he says, is Abraham justified by works, right? Then he has something to boast about, right? But not before God, because it says he believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, right? And so it wasn't the works that he did, right, that reckoned him as righteous. It was the fact that he believed, right, that he had faith. You know, and this is really like Paul's great, great, you know, theme that he goes all through the epistles about. And this is what separates, you know, most, I mean, you could almost say almost all religions, you know, compared to Christianity. I mentioned to you this week that I would share you a story about Augustine. Augustine, you know, in relation to Romans, this was this idea of the justification by faith, right? You know, Augustine was a Berber, you know, and so he lived in North Africa. It would be Berbers are present day. Someone help me out. What are some North African countries? Algeria, thank you, right? So he's actually Algerian. And so Augustine was actually a very, very famous philanderer. You know, he was known to sleep with multiple women. You know, he was a very devout pagan, you know. So I mean, his reputation was known throughout the whole area. But the guy was also stinking smart. You know, and he, his mom actually was a very, very, very devout believer. I mean, very devout, and would pray for his son, dedicated her son. What ended up happening is every time a prominent leader would come through Algeria, you know, to the Berbers, she would invite them to the home, and many times Augustine would sit and argue, you know, with these great thinkers and leaders and just crush them. I mean, just the guy was so smart. He was so articulate, you know. And so he had an incredible understanding of the faith, but he didn't believe. And he was sitting in a garden one day, and you know, and just you know, after partying, and you know, as a famous drunkard, you know, as one of these guys. And then while he was in the garden, the story is a little vague, but he was on a swing or he was doing something in the garden, and all of a sudden his voice came out. Right, that talked about this faith, this righteousness that comes through faith, you know. And it was so loud, and he kind of was startled, and he ended up getting the Bible, and he started reading the book of Romans, you know. And as he read the book of Romans, God illumined his mind, you know. I think Augustine's, you know, his problem was that he recognized that because of who he was. Because of his DNA, you know, he liked to drink, he liked to have sex, he liked women, he liked all these things, you know. He could never attain righteousness, right? And there's a lot of people like that in the world. You know what I mean? You know, they're like, oh, you know, I'm bad. And it's not so much they really think they're bad, but it's like, I'll never be good enough for God. You know what I mean? I mean, honestly, you know, don't raise your hand. How many of us have thought like that? You know, I can never be good enough. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian either, because I know a lot of Christians that think like that too. I can never be good enough for God. You know, I can never live up to this standard. And then when he read the book of Romans, he realized, oh my goodness, it's not because of what I do. It's faith that justifies me. You know, if I believe, right, then... You know, God, you know, places righteousness on us. And it was so revolutionary to Augustine. You know, and imagine Paul speaking this time. This is incredibly revolutionary to the people that he's writing to as well. You know, because the Jewish custom, the Jewish tradition was that you have to do this, you have to do that. You know, I mean, I've taught before on the Talmud, you know, and, you know, 10 laws of Moses, right? God gives 10 commandments. You know, and the Jewish people, and it wasn't out of any kind of folly, man. They really wanted to follow these Ten Commandments. You know what I mean? I mean, to the T, they were committed to that. And so they made up 613 different set of laws called the Talmud, you know, that espouses on the Ten Commandments. You know, and so can you imagine how rigid the faith became? You know, how straitjacketed, you know, it's like you got to do this, you got to do that, you can't do this, you know. And it was so clear, you know, to the point when Jesus enters in. And do you remember the guys, you know, the Pharisees, you know, they send him and says, well, I give tithe of my cumin, I give tithe of my mint, I give tithe of my dill. That's how precise it was. You know, I mean, can you imagine you're like a farmer, you know, and you got all this food and you have to apportion out every single vegetable, every single spice. That's how exact, you know, their faith became, you know, but not in the sense of their believing, but just in the ritual of what they have to do, you know. And now we are presented with this gospel of grace, right, that it's not what you do. Right, it's not, you know, and well, let me say it like this, okay? Because I don't want to put you guys totally off the hook, right? It's not your faith. You're not justified by what you do. You're justified by your faith. But your faith, right, that's a precursor, will lead to what you do. Does that make sense? You know, he mentions it here, and he's talking about, so was Abraham justified when he was circumcised or before? And he says, yeah, he was circumcised before, but then he got circumcised, right? It's really a sign of that covenant. You know, and so, you know, and Paul talks about the fruits of righteousness, right? You know, that, you know, as a believer, I don't know if I gave this illustration here at church, you know, but there's a really famous Christian in Mexico, right? You know, Nazario something. He's a leader of this group called La Familia, you know, and you guys may be familiar with him. You know, he runs this group, and what they do is, you know, they basically kill people. You know, they are known for beheading police officers in public. You know, they are the number one crime family in in Baja, Mexico. They traffic in marijuana and methamphetamines. You know, and he's a Christian. In fact, if you are a member of his La Familia, you get a book that he wrote. You know, and it's like his own like Bible. You know, and he makes all of his followers, all of his gang members, read John Eldridge's book, Wild at Heart. You know, I'm serious, right? I mean, this is like crazy, but he's a Christian. You know, and we could look and say, well, it's actually the works that should follow those that believe, right? The signs shall follow those that believe. And so, you know, and we can just, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. I don't think this guy's a Christian. You know what I mean? It just doesn't fit. And so, you know, so there is, you know, that very, you know, simple idea that our faith, you know, and signs follow that faith. You know, so I'm not saying, okay, well, I believe, you know, so I'm going to go sleep with prostitutes. And, you know, that's not the ethos of believing, right? And then if we really want to draw a picture, right? You know, biblical idea of believing is not an intellectual exercise, right? You know, it's not in our brains, right? Believing flows out of our lives, right? You know, and we can talk about that another time. And so, you know, so he gives this really incredible, incredible, you know, work, you know, and you can imagine sitting there as a Jewish person and your eyes pop out. You know, either because you get revelation or you're just ticked off and you want to kill Paul, right? You know what I mean? Usually, you know, with Jewish people, it goes one way or the other in this time, right? Either they're like, whoa, I never saw it that way. Wow, Paul, this is amazing. Or you're like, where is this guy? I want to kill him, you know? It's just like one or the other. But it's this incredible Christian idea of grace, you know, that faith justifies you, not what you do. See, this is revolutionary, because you know why? Every single one of us, we will never be good enough for God. Seriously, we will never be good enough for God, right? There is no amount of prayer that you could pray. You know, there's you could give all of your wealth. You know what I mean? You could spend 365 days this year fasting. You know what I mean? I mean, you can come to morning prayer. You can come, like, early to morning prayer. That's a revolutionary thought, by the way. But, you know, you could actually come early. Well, actually, the doors probably would be closed, but, you know, we'll give you a key or something. All right? I mean, just crazy. But you'll never be good enough for God, you know, because we're not justified by our works. We're justified by faith. It's huge, you know. And he continues on this thing. And this is actually what I want to talk about more than anything else. You know, and he talks about this promise. And notice he says in verse 18, right, because he's the father of many nations, I've made you. And then 18, in hope against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Right? That phrase, it's an intriguing phrase. Hope against hope. What that means is he hoped above the hopelessness, extraordinary hope, you know? And this is really what we're really talking about when we're talking about prayer, right? When we're talking about, you know, I believe God has spoken into my life. I believe that I'm a possessor of something. It's not manifest here on earth right now, right? But God has spoken. This is mine, you know? Some of you guys are, you know, are hoping beyond hope for a healing. Some of you are hoping beyond hope for a promotion or a job. Some of you guys are hoping beyond hope for a relationship. You know, there's something, and this is the key. You believe that God has spoken to you. You know, you believe that it belongs to you. You know, this is God in you, and yet the manifestation on earth is not happening yet, right? Follow Abraham's example. You know, and you know, for Abraham, it wasn't an easy journey. You know, do you know what happened when God announced this to Abraham? Here's Abraham, his wife, 100 years old, right? You know, and I don't want you to think, well, Pastor Sam, 100 is not really 100 because they live, right? Trust me, 100's 100, man, right? You know, and so because these guys are thinking there's no way this is going to happen. We're way beyond age of bearing. You know, if you go back to the Genesis passage, you know, and so think about how much support Abraham had, right? The Lord says, hey, Abraham, Sarai, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And what does Sarah do? She starts laughing. Like, she's like, you got to be kidding me. You know? Ladies, let me just give you a word of advice, right? It's nice to be supportive to your husbands. You know, that's really, that's like gold. You know, I know I have an agenda since I'm a man, right? You know, but it's something about having a supportive wife or girlfriend or whatnot. It's huge. And if you don't believe me, you ask your husband. You know, go ahead. I'll give you a second. Go take a look at his face, and you can just nod yes or, you know, no. I mean, it's, you know, there's something about that. And he hoped against hope. Even his wife didn't believe. She thought it was a huge joke, you know. And she was serious. Even the Lord told her, you know, that, hey, you laughed. And she goes, no, I didn't. You know, I mean, read that. This is quite a hilarious passage. And God said, yes, you did. You know, and I mean, just crazy. He had no support in this, right? He had no structure, you know, but he hoped against hope. That's why he's the father of our faith. You know, yeah, he made a lot of mistakes, you know, and us husbands and, you know, we'll make a lot of mistakes, you know, but that's what set Abraham apart. He hoped when there was no hope at all. You know, and I want to tell you guys, you know, that in our lifetime, there will come situations in our life, you know, where it will seem hopeless. I mean, just absolutely hopeless. Like, there is no way that this is going to happen. You know, and God will say hope above that hope, hopelessness. Right? Because remember the Lord's response to Sarai, right? The Lord turned to her and says, hey, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? You know, and that's really like the million-dollar question, right, for us. You know, we're contending for something. You know, for many of us, it's quite different. You know, as a church, we're contending for God's presence to come here and, you know, and to, you know, move upon, you know, Hong Kong and you know, and to see his kingdom come and his will be done. Thanks, kids. See, that's support. You know what I'm saying? you know, and you know, we're crying out for these kind of things, right? And you got to hope above that, because God, when you know, we take God's view and He looks down and says, "Hey, is there anything too difficult for me?" You know, God looks to us and says, "In your situation, can't I do that with a snap of my finger?" You know, I mean, really? You think of it. Is there anything that's too difficult for the Lord? You know, you couple that with what Jesus told, you know, or the angel told Mary, right, in Luke chapter 1, right? Remember, no spoken word of God shall be without ability, right? Remember when he turns over, right, and you know, the angel says, hey, you're going to have a child. The Spirit's going to come upon you. You know, I mean, you know, that's never happened before, and I don't think it'll ever happen again. You know, I know Star Wars and Luke Skywalker, right? That's just a movie, right? It ain't never going to happen again, you know, and revolutionary, right? And stuff, and yet, you know, you think about this, Right? And, you know, nothing will be impossible with God. Right? No spoken word of God should be without ability. You know, and so this morning, I want to encourage you, right? For some of you, it's an uphill battle right now. You know, but you make sure of the promise of God in your life. You know what I mean? God, you have spoken to me. Lord, you gave me this promise. Yeah, it's 10 years, you know, later, whatnot. You know, but it's okay. Because there is nothing that is too difficult for the Lord. Right? Nothing that is too difficult for the Lord. You know, hope against hope. And he believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, right? And you know the rest of the story, right? You know, born a son, and then other kids, and, you know, fathered many nations. You know, literally, the Israelites became a blessing to the world in the sense that the seed of Christ came from that family line. You know, I'll be honest. I don't think there's anything special about Jewish people, right? That's not an anti-Semitic statement. You know, I mean, I've been to Israel many times. Not that that really matters, you know, and stuff. But, you know, I mean, I pray for the Jewish people and whatnot. But I think there's nothing really so special about them except the fact that God had to choose one group of people to bring forth the Messiah. And he chose the Jewish people. He could have chose Chinese people. You know what I mean? I mean, he could have chose Korean people, you know, and some Koreans think that they are chosen, right? That's a whole other episode. You know, I mean, he could have chose Germans. You know what I mean? You know, heaven forbid, he could have chose the French, right? Sorry, Sandro, right? You know, and stuff, but, you know, but he had to choose somebody, some group of people, and he chose the Jews in that way, you know, and thus marks their history, right? But Abraham's our father because he hoped against hope. And he believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, even without the support. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. Okay. So, is there something that God has put on your heart? Is there something that Holy Spirit has spoken to you about? Is there something that, you know, a promise yet unfulfilled? Healing? Spouse? Job? Promotion? All kinds of different things. And maybe you don't quite have the support system that you really need. The Lord is with you. Remember the Proverbs? Though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. You need a strong support system. But actually, you have a great support system in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you today to fight again. Whatever it is that you're hoping for, don't lose that hope. When you lose that hope, we die. And so Sam leads us in a song. Let's just get into God's presence and begin to give the Lord our attention in these particular areas that we're hoping for again. Thank you. You know, the great thing about being in community, right, is that you don't have to do this thing on your own. And so, with your eyes closed, you know, if you are in this battle of hoping against hope, right, we want to come together as a body to bring the support that's necessary. Right, and so if you're in this place and all the eyes, just I encourage you just to raise your hand. Just lift them up nice and high. Right, I'll wait for a few more. Now, if you have your hands up, I want you to keep your eyes closed. The rest of us that our eyes are open, right, why don't you look around the room and, you know, let's get a few people, two or three people praying for, you know, every person that's got their hand raised. There's a bunch here in the front row. Well, let's move around the room. We'll still pray over our things, but let's move around the room. And, you know, Abraham didn't get that support, but that should not be the case for our church people. Right? There's quite a few sisters here in this corner over here. And so if you can make your way over. And let's just battle with our friends. Let's stand in the gap with them in their battle, in their struggle. Does everyone have? Right? And if you feel some hands on you, you can put your hand down. And you guys that are receiving prayer, I'm just going to ask, don't pray. Just be quiet. Just let the prayers of God's people be extended to you right now. Let's pray for our friends together. Thank you. Father, we thank you for our friends, God. Lord, we love our friends, Lord. And we thank you that you love them, God, with an everlasting love. And Lord, we want to come alongside, God. We want to support, Lord, strongly support, God, what's going on in their lives. Lord, we're standing in the gap with them, for them, God. We're believing for a miracle. God, we're believing for healing, God, for promotion, Lord, for provision. God, in many areas, God, work-related, relationally. Father God, we're asking, God, that you would come, God, and be God over their lives, Lord. God, where there's areas of discouragement, Lord, God, that you would wipe away, Father God. Lord, pray right now, God, that they would hear your voice, Lord, that says, hey, is there anything that's too difficult for me? Is there anything that's too difficult for me? And Lord, I pray that you would galvanize their faith this morning, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith in their life, Lord. God, and we are continually committed, Lord, to see your kingdom come in their lives, God. So, Lord, continue to teach us to pray, God. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to our prayer focus. Let's pray for our local ministries, face-to-face, and Zhengsheng College, and Feed the Hungry, and CSW. Let's ask the Lord to bless these leaders and to continue to draw them closer and closer to the Lord. Let's ask God to use them powerfully here in Hong Kong and throughout Asia. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for the welcoming hospitality team. Pray for Leanne and Pastor Eugene. Lift up the barista ministry. Pray for Bonnie and all the volunteers. You know, it's been amazing how the whole coffee thing has been running so smoothly. You know, the leaders of the Vine, they warned me that this ministry is quite tough to find volunteers. And, you know, we're blessed to have so many. You know, so let's pray that these, you know, first faces that are guests come to see, that they would be fully equipped and to serve and love people and be a bridge to, you know, new people to the church, the whole body of Christ. And so let's just really lift up these ministries before the Lord. Let's pray over our services tomorrow. Let's lift up our pre-service prayer times in the morning and afternoon. Let's pray for our morning and afternoon service. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and all the teachers. And let's pray that God's presence would be with all the kids. You know, the kids actually move into their new sanctuary tomorrow on the third floor. It's an exciting time for them. Let's pray all the logistics would be taken care of. Let's pray for the youth group and their Bible study tomorrow morning. Let's pray we are opening up the lounge tomorrow, which is our new welcoming center and library and people just to hang out. And, you know, let's pray that our guests that would come would just really feel loved and accepted. And so let's just lift up all of our activities tomorrow. Let's pray God's kingdom come through that time.
Let's go to our prayer, our individual prayer focus. Let's pray this morning for Vanessa. Let's ask the Lord to bless her with the right job offer soon, and pray for provision. Pray for even her lack of understanding, that God would strengthen her. Pray for her father, Lim Peng Kiam, to be healthy, improving his brain vessel condition. And pray for her sister, Yimin, to have a healthy, normal baby this year. Oh, let's just lift up Vanessa and her family. Let's pray for our brother Will. Let's pray for to follow his guidance and obedient to his calling in the marketplace. Pray for a favor at work and a smooth transition to a new role, and for his new career biz, a breakthrough in family finances, and an increased capacity to love people around him. Let's pray. Next slide. Oh, that's it. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We love you. We thank you, God, that there is nothing that's impossible for you, Lord. And we pray, God, especially, Lord, as we hope against hope, God, that we would battle through, God, that wall of unbelief, God, that wall of discouragement, God. Lord, that wall that taunts us, Lord, that demonic thing that rises up against the knowledge of God. Lord, and we tear down fortresses, Lord, in your name. And so we pray, God, that you give us, God, the courage, God, the strength to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. God, we thank you for this morning, God. Just continue to watch over us, Lord. Keep us healthy. Keep us warm, God. Keep us focused on you, God. We are hungry, God, Lord, but we are more hungry for you. And so satisfy that hunger, God, not just in our body, God, but that's in our soul, our spirit. We bless you, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today. Please continue to pray and seek the Lord's face. And we'll see you guys bright and early Sunday service tomorrow.